Revelation 20, verses 7 and 8 say that when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. And he will go out and deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog, Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. He will go out and deceive the nations. Now go to 1 John. 1 John 5. And you'll read it and you'll see we know that we are of God, and the whole world, look at this, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient. What's the next word? Deceived. Serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice, which can be external and internal. Hello? Malice can be external and internal. In other words, the expression of hatred can be external towards people and towards yourself. Right? So, deceived, serving various lusts, pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Hateful can be external and internal, and hating one another, generally external, right? So there's an amazing problem with mankind. You know, that verse in Revelation says that in a very short period of time, the devil's going to be able to deceive the entire world. In 1 John 5:19, it says that the world is already under his sway. In Titus 3, it says we were all deceived. Deceived. You know what it means to be deceived? It means to be wrong about what you thought. Tricked into thinking something that was incorrect. Right? That's a simple definition, but it's a very powerful definition. Tricked into thinking something that's incorrect. Tricked into doing things that will harm you. Tricked. Deceived. Tricked. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, you've all read it, says the heart is what? Deceitful. Oh, wait a minute. Not only are we deceived, we are also deceivers. This is bad. The condition of the unregenerate should be described with one word: deceived. Deceived. The Bible says that we were deceived by our own hearts. In Isaiah 44, verse 20, he feeds on ashes, as Ephraim. A deceived heart has turned him aside. His own heart is deceived. It's deceived by sin in Hebrews 3, 13. Hebrews 3:13. The heart is deceived by sin. Exhort one another daily, what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Brought to a place where you're no longer responding to God because sin has tricked you into thinking certain things. This is a major problem. This is a big deal. This happens, and I want to say this to you tonight, it's probably happening to you. And the problem with deception is this. The deceived never think they're deceived. That's the deception of the thing. That's one of the main symptoms of a deceived person is that they don't know they're deceived. They don't know that they've been fooled and tricked and that they've drawn conclusions about things that are wrong. Listen, we've all drawn conclusions about things that are wrong. And some of us still operate in those conclusions. Some of us still operate with those presuppositions. And we're learning. As time goes on, you learn, and God corrects those. But we start off not with a clean slate as Christians. We don't start out with a nice, clean, innocent slate. You know where we start off as believers? Deceived. We start off because the lost person is born, they're under the sway of the wicked one, and we've all drawn these conclusions about ourselves. We've drawn conclusions about the world. We've drawn conclusions about everything around us. We've drawn conclusions about how to draw conclusions. We have. And then we wonder why we need counseling. We wonder why we got to talk to people. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. You should get it. But one of the root things to identify is that I have been deceived. My life has been deceived. And one of the reasons why I'm struggling is because I spent many years of my life in the world system getting deceived. That's a problem. But the problem has a solution to it. That's the good news. The good news is there's a solution. But the condition of the unregenerate is always deceived. It's always deceived. 2 Thessalonians describes the Antichrist, that we've been teaching this. Beginning in verse 9, it says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth." And in this description of the Antichrist's operation, we see a glimpse of the solution. It is a love of the truth. A love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 and 10. A love of the truth. Do you love the truth? You know when I began to love the truth? When I realized that I had heard something that was true and it made me rejoice. I can remember one of the first times as a believer when I really began to love the truth. It was in Rome. I had been struggling as an Air Force enlistee, an enlisted person. I was at Griffiths Air Force Base, and I was struggling in my walk with God, and I didn't know where to turn, and I found this church. And the first few messages were about the finished work of Jesus Christ. I had been deceived and to thinking that somehow I had to earn my way to God and to live a certain way to keep a good standing with God. I had been deceived. And I had never heard that it was the grace of God that changes the saint into what God wants him to be. And that Jesus Christ fully paid for all my sin. and that the only reason I would ever be accepted by God was because of what Jesus Christ did. That's it. There wasn't any merit on my part. It was all the merit of Jesus Christ. He did the work. He finished the work. There was no work left to do. In other words, if I'm painting in here and we paint and we're done painting. Let's say we paint, we're done painting. And we're picking up the drop cloths and we're washing off the brushes and Grace comes in. Grace comes in the building and says, "Hey, Pastor, I want to paint." I say, "Grace, great. I'm glad you're here, but we're done. We've finished painting. Is there any painting left to do at that point?" No. Why? Because we're what? Finished. See, is there anything left for you to do to earn a place with God? No. Why? Because Christ finished the work. He's done. How many understand that? See? There's nothing left to do. So you say, "Jesus, what do you want me to do? I feel like God doesn't really like me." Well, too bad. You don't get it. He loves you. And there's nothing left for you to do. He's done it all. And you're completely 100% accepted. And by the way, Jesus would say to you this. He'd say, he'd look right in the eye and say this. He says, "You know how much, I want you to imagine how much God likes me." If Jesus were to say that to you, say this, can you imagine, do you think God accepts me? Pretend I'm Jesus. You're not. And I say to you, Kathy, do you think God accepts me? Do you think God accepts my work?
Yeah.
You know how much God accepts you? As much as me. Why? Because you're in me. I've made you part of me. Does that make sense? It is finished. I was deceived. And you know what? When I first began to hear that and understand that, I loved that. I began to love the truth. Another thing I began to love, I had a business. And I was very independent and a very stubborn. Nothing like I am today. Yeah. But you know what the difference is between then and now? Back then, I had no accountability. Imagine someone like that with nobody accountable to no one. Doesn't answer to anybody, doesn't answer no questions, just do my own thing, whatever I wanted. It was my way or the highway. I was El Presidente. One of the guys who worked for me called me El Presidente. I was 25 years old. I owned a corporation. I had 15 employees. We were doing about $500,000 a year. I was El Presidente. And God didn't like it. And God put an end to it. And the only thing that fixed it was accountability. And I began to love accountability. And I realized that, you know what, when you're corrected for something you've done wrong, God puts you in a place where you can receive His love again, and you can receive His word again, and you can receive fellowship again, right? And then you start to love being corrected. You kind of you love accountability. You become a lover of the truth. How many of you know exactly what I mean by this? You begin to love the truth. You want to avoid deception? Remember what it means to love the truth and to love the Word of God and to love the fellowship of Christ and to love being loved and loving people. See? Satan is actively looking for people to deceive. 1 Peter 5:18, you've heard the verse. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, right? He's actively looking for people to deceive. Actively looking for people to deceive. There was a friend of mine, and right now he's pastoring a church. But I'll tell you where he was. He was working for a paving company in Rome, living by himself, and he had a problem with crack. And he would kind of fall off the wagon, and he'd go get it, and then he'd come back to church, and he'd meet with a couple of the guys, and he'd say, listen, I blew it again. I really don't want to do this anymore, but it keeps happening. Will you help me? Yes, we'll help you. And then he'd be 2-3 months, he'd be great, and then he'd do it again. And at one point, the pastor said to me, he said, we have to help him fill his schedule with things that are important. And what we need to do is just give him opportunities to just be with the men and make sure that he knows when they are and pick him up if he needs a ride and so forth. So I started to take him on outreach with me in on bus ministry and some other things. And then when we began to, Karen and I left for Africa, we came back and we had Artie come with us to some Bible studies. Then when I started traveling back and forth to Waterloo 2 years, he couldn't always do it on Wednesday night. I had Brian Hollins with me on Wednesday. On Thursday, came on Thursday night. Brian Hollins on Thursday night. Sometimes, yeah, usually it was just Brian. And then on Sunday, I'd have Artie and Rich Montero. And the guys would come, and Artie began to teach our little Sunday school class. We only had one room and 4 or 5 kids. Artie started to teach Sunday school class. And, you know, Artie was delivered because he loved the accountability. He loved being around the body of Christ. And he began to love that more than the other thing. And I remember one time he told me, you know what I love about serving God? He said, I feel fantastic when I'm done. And then I compare it to how I feel after I've done the other thing. And it's really no contest. And he just began to love the truth. I don't know if he ever failed again after that. I doubt it. But, you know, now he's pastoring a church. He's serving God. And it's just amazing what God can do with anybody. Anybody. Anybody who loves the truth. Now, being a pastor is not the epitome of Christianity. I just raised that up to illustrate the fact that it seemed like this was a hopeless individual, was never going to make it, and now he's leading people. And he's doing a good job of it. And I must say he's not the only one that's happened to. So, loving the truth creates a condition of the human heart that I'm going to call discernment. When I love the truth, I will distinguish between right and wrong. I'll distinguish between God and the devil. I'll distinguish between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. God will begin to give discernment to the person who loves the truth. Discernment. It is amazing how few people grow in the area of discernment. Now, there's a gift of discernment in the Bible. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the exercise of the truth of the Word of God in the soul. Paul told Timothy that the Word of God should be exercised in his heart. Does anybody know what that verse is? What's that? Yes, thank you, Karen. It's a brilliant scholarly answer. Okay, since I said Paul told Timothy, there's only 2 books it could be in. No. That's a very good verse. It's a question Paul is saying that there are those who are exercised by the Word of God. I'm using the exact words in the verse. I believe it's in the King James Version, so you may be at a disadvantage. Those who are exercised thereby. Okay, what's it say? What's it say? That's the verse.
He
All right, so Hebrews 5:14. Solid food. This is what this means, by the way, is good doctrine. Solid food or good doctrine belongs to those who are of full age, meaning the mature. That is, who are mature, those who by reason of use. What does reason of use mean? Those who by reason of what? They use it. They work it. They apply it. They have their senses exercised to discern. So discernment comes not just from having knowledge, but what? Using the knowledge, right? And sometimes you just got to use it by faith. By faith. No feelings, no emotional reinforcement, sometimes all by yourself. I'll tell you what, some of the greatest growing that you're going to do is when you're forced into a place where you have no emotional or social support and you have to make a decision just to honor God. Yeah. The congregation will love you and support you, but they're not going to be able to make the decision for you. You got to make the choice. You got to make your decision what you're going to do. How you're going to, if you're going to follow Christ or not. Having discernment. Billy Graham said there were two key things to having discernment. The first thing he said was to guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Billy Graham said that wisdom is always related to the mouth, the mind, and the feet. In other words, wisdom is related to your words. And James brings this up. You can't say you have wisdom if your words don't reflect wisdom, right? Your words, your mind, what you're thinking, and your feet, what you do, where you go, right? So I can speak wisdom and be thinking the word of God, and that's going to take my feet where they belong, right? That's guarding your heart. I love how Billy Graham brought that out. And that passage in Proverbs chapter 4, let's look at it. We have a minute. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Guard your heart. Listen, guard your heart. Guard what goes into that mind of yours. Guard the people that you're around. Make sure the friends that you're hanging around with are the kind of people that are going to be, they're going to reflect the truth. They're not going to be people who are going to feed you a bunch of garbage or tell you what you want to hear. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let your ways be established. Don't turn to the right or left. Remove your foot from evil. That's wisdom. That's guarding your heart. Everybody understand that? Guard your heart. Don't walk into a place where you're going to subject your mind to lies and deceit. Okay? The second thing Billy Graham said was the key to discernment is to know the Word of God. Guess what verse he said? Hebrews 4:12. He said, for the Word of God is sharp and powerful. Living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder even the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God will help you think straight. It'll separate and it will distinguish for you the difference between an emotional reaction and a good reaction. The Word of God helps define that. The Word of God helps define a good motive from a questionable motive. The more you learn the Word of God, the more you'll be able to to pick out what's going on in your own head. You'll be able to think clearer and straighter. The more you're in the Word of God, the more you learn the Bible, the better your thinking will be. So guard your heart. Watch what your mouth says. Watch what your mind thinks. Watch where your feet go. That's guard your heart. And then learn the Word of God. Last verse I want to read tonight is in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit, verse 1, expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. The original language literally says, spirits that seduce and doctrines demons teach. Did you hear that? Spirits that seduce, seductive spirits. The world is full of seductivity, isn't it? Everything is seductive. Everything from car manufacturers, advertising, to the opposite sex, to greed. You watch these E-Trade commercials. Have you seen some of these E-Trade commercials? They're incredible. They're very well done. As far as marketing, brilliant. But, you know, it's like guy retires and, you know, one guy's in a rowboat, another guy drives by on a yacht, you know. And the guy in the yacht kind of standing there like this, looks down at the guy in the boat and says, you should have E-Trade, you know, for your retirement funding, your retirement savings, a financial advisor, whatever. It's all about seduction. It's about seducing people. And I will say that God does not seduce. God motivates and draws. Seduction is the art of hiding the consequences while presenting the opportunity. That's seduction. Seduction is presenting the opportunity while hiding the consequences. Do I need to say that again? That's a good definition of seduction. Presenting the opportunity while hiding the consequences. That's what the devil does all the time. What God does, God defines the opportunity and describes the consequences. So those two things Billy Graham said, guard your heart and know the Word of God. I would add one third thing, get counsel. Get counsel. Here's a quick one-minute sprint through several verses in Proverbs. I'll give you the references while I read them. Ready? On your mark, get set, go. Proverbs 12:15 says this, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 11:14, I'm going to go back a chapter. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans go awry. But in a multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 19:20-21. Listen to counsel. Hey, listen to counsel. Receive instruction. Hello. Listen to counsel. Receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart, verse 21. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Proverbs 24, verse 6. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety or victory. Good counsel, you will wage war. There comes a point where you have to fight. Sometimes you got to fight. A good counsel will tell you when it's time to fight. And when you do, through wise counsel, you'll prevail. 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. And then one last verse. This is in Psalm 1 and relates to the three parts of wisdom. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor